I hope that any gift exchanges that you've been a part of this Christmas season did not unfold like that. Hopefully nobody was tackling somebody under the Christmas tree. That would probably not be a good thing. Hopefully it's been a time of blessing for both the giver and the one receiving the gifts, and hopefully there hasn't been too many family conflicts just over the gifts that have been given this Christmas season or that will be given maybe later on today or this week. You know, speaking of blessing, my kids are sitting over here going, okay, Dad, here's a way that you can bless us at church today. No long sermons today, okay? There's some kids sitting there going, amen. Hey, my kids are going, Dad, if you want to bless us today, say what you have to say, not a word more, because our trampoline that is sitting in our backyard is just waiting for us to worship Jesus on that trampoline. I hear you. And trust me, I'm ready to see how high I can bounce a 4- and a 6-year-old and see if they could go over the. It was so great this morning. They're out there, in their robes and they're bouncing, and we're drinking coffee. And this guy running, coming across the back, just sees these two little heads popping up over the fence like that, just is smiling and waving. And, you know, it's just something good about Christmas morning and about being able to watch kids just experience joy like that. But I do think that there is something so good and so right for followers of Jesus to gather together at church and just to say thank you and to worship the Lord together and to tell him how much we love him and just to really stop down in the middle of our day, at the beginning of our day, whenever our day started and whenever it's going to end, and at some point just go, thank you, God, for sending your one and only Son, your great gift to all mankind. I mean, talk about a great, great gift exchange. That is a great gift exchange. I mean, the most popular verse in the whole Bible. Maybe you've heard it or seen it on a banner at a football game. Maybe you've memorized it. It's John 3:16, and listen to what it says. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Can I just tell you, the nature and the character of our great God is that he's a giver. He's a giving God. And when Jesus Christ was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, God gave the world an incredible gift. And at the same time, we see in the Christmas story that not only was God giving to all of mankind, but there were others who came that first Christmas and were offering gifts as well. There were others who were a part of this gift exchange. They've come to be known as the three wise men, or the Magi. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 is going to be on page 807. If you're using the Bible in the pew right in front of you, 807 is where we're going to be this morning. And I want you to look with me at what it says about what took place after Jesus was born that first Christmas, starting in verse 1. If you're able to, would you stand with me in reverence of God's word? Just want to read this account of the Christmas story together. I'll read it out loud and you follow along in the Bible or off of the screen. And in Matthew 2, beginning in verse 1, it says this. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Thanks, you can be seated. Offered gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. You know, we can learn a whole lot from those wise men who attended Jesus' first birthday party. I mean, if I had to sum up what we learned from those wise men in one sentence, it would be this: the wise men got it right. Why don't you say that with me? The wise men got it right. You go, wait a minute, what did they get right? I've kind of heard the story, seen the story, but what was it that they got right? Well, let me just start off where we left off. And we'll work from the back end of verse 11 and then kind of back through verse 9. Here's some of the things. Here are three things that they got right. The first thing is this: they brought a gift to the birthday boy. They brought a gift to the birthday boy. I mean, did you see that on the back half of verse 11? Look what it says. Then opening their treasures, they offered him what? Gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. I mean, think about it with me for a minute. Who goes to a birthday party and doesn't bring a gift? I mean, I've been to a lot of birthday parties in my life. But I've never been to a birthday party where I went expecting the birthday boy or the birthday girl to give me a gift. I mean, sure, maybe when I was little, I was like, okay, I'm bringing you a gift, and you better kind of give me the little thank you goodie bag, you know? I mean, kind of that gift, maybe. But I mean, nobody in their right mind goes to a birthday party expecting the birthday boy or the birthday girl to give them a gift. I was talking about this concept with one of my friends named Chris a couple of years ago, and he was sharing with me some conversations that he was having with his kids about how Christmas is Jesus' birthday. The whole reason for the season is that we celebrate Jesus' birthday. Christmas is that time when Jesus was born. And then Chris just shared with me this part of the conversation that he had with his little girl, who was just kind of going, yeah, I kind of get that, but... She just said, like only a little girl can say to their dad, just really innocently, but she just kind of cuts to the chase and just says, Dad, if it's Jesus' birthday, then why are we the ones getting all the gifts? And Chris just said, man, she just kind of stopped me down. I just kind of went, what? And so they just kind of talked through sharing and giving and what it means. I mean, out of the mouth of a child came such a great question, such great perspective, such a moment of clarity. Now, hang on here with me. Am I saying that if you got gifts at Christmas, that that's bad? No, I'm not saying that at all. My kids are sitting there going, you can't have the trampoline back. The trampoline was a gift. It wound up in our backyard. We are going home, and we are jumping on that gift. Hey, enjoy your Christmas presents. Have a blast with your Christmas presents. But just remember something. Wise people
bring a gift to the birthday party. Wise people bring gifts to birthday party. Look with me again at the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus on his first birthday. Look what it says here in Matthew 2:11 again. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of what? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Man, I had a blast studying this. And can I just tell you, there is so much symbolism behind these three gifts. I mean, a ton of symbolism. And right now, my kids are going, Dad, I'm going to kill you if you tell us all of the symbolism that is back there. Okay, cut to the chase, Dad. Okay, I'm going to cut to the chase. One particular commentary that was meaningful to me as I was studying this was by a guy named John MacArthur. And he wrote some things that just kind of resonated with me, and I wanted to share with you about these three gifts. The first gift is the gift of gold. Throughout history, gold has been considered one of the most precious metals, one of the most precious gifts that could ever be in a person's present, that could ever be given. It's a universal symbol of material value and wealth. Gold was used extensively in the construction of the temple in the Old Testament. Gold, all throughout Scripture, and even throughout history outside of Scripture, has been a symbol of royalty and of nobility. And if you read throughout the Gospel of Matthew, like where we're reading today, and you continue reading throughout the Gospel of Matthew, you will see Jesus over and over throughout the Gospel of Matthew being presented and being described as a king, one of royalty, one of nobility. We heard earlier this king of the Jews that it was said earlier in Matthew 2. We see that later on and all throughout the gospel. The king of the Jews. He's referred to as the king of kings, appropriately being presented with royal gifts of gold. That second gift was the gift of what? Frankincense. Let me tell you about frankincense. Not Frankenstein, frankincense. Frankincense was an incredibly costly, it was a beautiful smelling gift. It was an incense that was used at the most special of occasions, okay? It was used in the grain offerings that were presented at the temple, at the tabernacle. And it's mentioned all throughout the book of Leviticus, as well as some of the royal processions in the Old Testament and some of the special weddings that are mentioned. Like over in the Song of Solomon, it's mentioned that frankincense was a part of that wedding ceremony. If you look throughout church history, you'll see some things written about frankincense. One of the early church fathers, a man known by the name of Origen. Origen is credited with calling frankincense the incense of deity, the incense of God, the scent that's worthy to be in God's presence. Frankincense. In the Old Testament, if you study the Old Testament, we see frankincense is stored in a special chamber in the front of the temple, and it is sprinkled on certain offerings as a symbolic way for the people of God to say, God, we want to bring to you our very, very best, the best kind of gift that we could possibly bring. And then there's that third gift that was brought. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know this story well. Myrrh was also a perfume, much like frankincense. It wasn't quite as expensive as frankincense, but it was an incredibly valuable gift nonetheless. Some scholars suggest that myrrh was given as a gift towards Jesus to bless and represent giving a gift towards his humanity, whereas frankincense was given as a gift to represent Christ's divinity, the God child, the God man, Jesus. Myrrh, if you study church history and throughout history, you will see myrrh being used for helping to prepare people for burial who had died. They would use myrrh in that embalming process. And thus, some of the scholars suggest that this gift of myrrh that was brought by the wise man and laid before baby Jesus was a foreshadowing of Christ's death that would occur 33 years later. And just beginning to signify the whole reason that he came in the first place. Jesus was born to die. And not to stay dead, but 3 days later to do what? Come back to life, to rise again, just like we saw those five individuals this morning. They were buried with Christ in baptism, and they were raised to walk in newness of life. It's the greatest gift exchange of all time. So I'm telling you, the wise men, they got it right. They brought gifts to Jesus' birthday party, and they gave these gifts to Jesus. So let's take a second and just think about something with me. Since it is Jesus' birthday that we're celebrating today, is there something that you and I should bring to this birthday party? This birthday party that we called at 10:45 on this Sunday morning. Is there something that we should bring to him on this special day? Some of you are going, man, I left my gold, my frankincense, and my myrrh back at home. Hey, maybe there was another gift that the wise men got right that we can bring this morning. Did you notice it in the first part of verse 11? Look with me what it says. And going into the house, they saw the child and Mary, his mother, and they fell down and did what? They worshiped him. Wise men, wise women, give Jesus, take a guess, worship. They give him the gift of worship. This is the second thing that they got right at Jesus' birthday party. The second thing they got right, they knew the moment was not about them, but all about him. It's all about him. Please pay particular attention to that pronoun, him. All about him. Christmas is all about Jesus, is all about him. But did you see who was mentioned in verse 11? Look with me again. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. Now, in this scene, at the birthday party, not only is Jesus at the party, but Jesus' mother is at the party, whose name was Mary. So Jesus and Mary are at this birthday party. But I want you to notice something. I want you to notice who got all of the gift of worship. Notice this. Verse 11. And they, the wise men, fell down and worshiped who? Him. They saw Mary and Jesus. They saw them, but they only worshiped him. They only worshiped Jesus. Can I just stop here for a moment and just make a point? This is a really important point for us to not just gloss over and glaze over. As important as Mary is to this story, Mary was never created by God to be worshiped. Mary was never intended by God to be prayed to. Only the King gets worshiped. Only the King gets bowed down to. Only the King gets praised, and only the King of Kings gets prayed to in a way that we know he will respond. Mary is so important to this story. She gave a special delivery that would lead to our special delivery. And we talked about that last night. But only the King is to receive the gift of worship. And the King, it's him. Finally, the last thing that the wise men got right was this. Number three, they were pumped up to party. Okay, they were pumped up to party. Look with me, if you will, at verses 9 and 10. This tells us how they came to Jesus, how they came to his birthday party. Look at verses 9 and 10. This is so great. Verse 9 and 10 says this, "And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was." Verse 10. "And when they saw the star," underline this, "they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." Underline that. You need to check this out. This is just great stuff. "They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." Can I just tell you how I translate that? They were pumped up to party. I mean, they were big time pumped up to party. If you're kind of a word nerd and a language nerd and you start studying in the Greek what those phrases mean, can I just tell you this? There are so many superlatives that are piled on top of one another right there in that phrase. Rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. In the Greek, that just means they were pumped up to party. Big time. They had come to this birthday party raring and ready to go. I mean, let me just give you an illustration, example of how over the top excited they were. I mean, some of you may have heard that I am a Baylor Bear, okay? Some of you may have heard that. And this has been an incredible year for the green and gold. And I mean, I was really pumped up when my Bears beat TCU, and then they wound up beating Texas Tech, and they wound up beating OU, and they wound up beating Texas. And on top of that, our star... There's a star in this story too. Our star, RG3, Robert Griffin III, he actually won the Heisman. And I mean, over all that, I was just pumped up to party. But can I tell you this? As much as I've been pumped up about my Baylor Bears, it is a sorrowful feeling in comparison to what these wise men were feeling. They were over the top, pumped up, and excited to bring gifts, to lay them before the king's feet, and to worship this newborn king. And so on this Christmas day, this birthday party for Jesus, I wonder if before we head back home, if before we enjoy the rest of this day, some of you are going to do what I'm going to do. You're going to watch the Mavericks try to besiege the Heat again. And it's going to be a fun time to do that. And before we do any of that, we just kind of put all those things beside us. I wonder if we could just worship. Worship Him. Worship the King. It's what our birthday God, deserves. He deserves our worship today. We're not going to sing long, but I am going to invite you to sing from the heart with great joy to this King. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you that it is your birthday. Thank you that you invite even people like us, people who may have a little bit of mess in their lives. Lord, you invite us into your presence, and we get to bring you a gift today. Lord, many of us have opened some great gifts today, and that's great. But may we not leave this place until we just kind of take a deep breath and just kind of kneel our hearts and slow our pace and remember that this is all about you. And Lord, we're going to just sing a song to you. It's our gift to you. And as we sing, Lord, there may be some that want to just go and worship at the communion table and just thank you again for the gift of our deliverance. There may be some that just want to come and kneel, just like those wise men kneeled before you and just kneel at these altar steps. Lord, there may be some who want to come and make a decision to join this church or to take a step towards following you in baptism. There may be some who've never opened the gift of salvation, and this morning they might want to just make this the best Christmas ever. And just admit that they're a sinner and believe that you came from heaven to earth and died on a cross to forgive us of our sin. And it says that if all who call out to you will be saved, and there may be some who want to do that. Lord, we just want to worship you in these next moments. In Jesus' name, amen.